Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue with singing from Psalter 200, the first three stanzas. Christ shall have dominion over land and sea. Earth's remotest regions shall his empire be. They that wilds inhabit shall their worship bring. Kings shall render tribute. Nations serve our King. And what follows of 200, stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this evening can be found in Psalm 72. Psalm 72, but first we will hear the 12 articles of our Catholic Christian undoubted faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mention to you Psalm 72, a psalm for Solomon. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people, he shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure, throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be a handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And and blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended.
Let us ask the Lord for his blessing and his presence among us tonight. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who reigns over all things, thou who has a kingdom, and thou art the king of that eternal kingdom, that kingdom that shall have no end. Lord, as we may come unto thee in this evening, as thou hast in thy goodness and providence opened the doors of thy house that we may come together. And Lord, we ask thee then that as we may pray unto thee together as a congregation, give us true humility, a little understanding of how great thou art, of that glorious, highest majesty in heaven, who is infinitely pure, and we are sinful, we are corrupt, we are polluted. O Lord, wilt thou then teach us to pray, not only in humility, bowing before thee, but also teach us to pray, looking up to thee. Could it be in faith, with expectation of who thou art, of how great thou art, that thou art that almighty God. Lord, we beg thee then that thou would then gather with us tonight. Each time is a new time. Each time we need thy presence. Each time we need the work of the Holy Spirit. We need thy grace. We need it to preach, and we need it to listen. O Lord, we beg thee then for thy honor, for thy glory, and for our eternal salvation. Come among us tonight. And we pray, Lord, that thou would richly bless thy precious word irresistibly by the power of the Holy Spirit in the congregation. Lord, may we ask thee that thou would give here in this church a revival, a true spiritual revival. Oh, that many would be born again, that many would see how horrible, how sinful, how greatly sinful sin is against thee, and that we would have hunger and thirst to live for thee, for thy honor, for thy glory. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, wilt thou then give new life, as thou alone can only give. We pray, Lord, for thy dear people, that they also may be filled with zeal to live for thy honor, for thy glory, and that we may pray also for thy kingdom to come in this world, among Jew and Gentile, to come in our nation, to come in this church, but also to come in our hearts. May we pray for one another, that we may have love for one another, for one another's never dying soul, and that we may look to those who are beside us, and that we may pray for them, that thou would work in them, that thou would convert them and draw them to thyself, that they would be brought to the feet of that only mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, we beg thee then, unto whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Care then, Lord, for thy church. Thou art the faithful one. Thou art the king of the church. Work mightily, irresistibly then. We pray and ask thee, Lord, that thou would remember also all of us in this week. Thou knowest all the plans and cares and concerns among us, but also through the whole world. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, remember also in the United States when there will be an election. Oh, we beg thee, have mercy upon that nation. And Lord, at times we don't even know what to pray for, but we beg thee, have mercy upon them and draw them to thyself. And may it all be in thy favor, Lord. We pray and ask thee to remember us also as a consistory in this week, when we will meet together, and thou hast placed us in these offices to care for this flock, and we are sinful men. We need thy grace. We need thy spirit, Lord. Give us wisdom. Teach us, lead us, and guide us, that we may lead this flock to thy honor and glory, for the edification of thy dear people. And Lord, also that in this week at our meeting, we will also be nominating men for elders, for deacons. Oh, may we beg thee, Lord, that thou would guide us, and may there be much prayer in the congregation, that they may beg the Lord to guide the consistory also in this matter. Lord, we pray, remember then also the persecuted church. Care for them, uphold them, visit them, strengthen them. What a privilege we have that we may freely come into thy house without fear of prison or death, but may it not testify against us. May we see what a great blessing we have, and may we then ask thee, Lord, to uphold thy church throughout the world that is persecuted for the name of Jesus Christ. Remember those who are traveling in this week, Lord. Care for them. Watch over each one. Remember the congregation the next Lord's Day, the Lord willing, help the elders to lead the services, and help also thy servant in another congregation, and may we be together again at thy time to again preach thy word here. Lord, we beg thee, remember us as families. Help us as fathers, as mothers. Help us as husbands and wives to love each other, to be faithful, to care for each other. Bless thy word richly, Lord. Help us in the education of our dear children, at school or at home. Bless thy word richly, Lord. And that thy kingdom may come also among the children, the teenagers. Lord, thou art the Almighty God. May there be Timothys. May there be many whose hearts are conquered by thy grace, and that they cannot serve the world anymore, but that they long to serve thee, that they beg thee to rule over them, to guide them, to lead them, to govern them. Lord, wilt thou take away all our weapons of resistance? By nature we are rebellious against thee. But Lord, wilt thou convert us, and also thy dear people, sanctify them, take away all that resistance, for when things go against our flesh, then we feel it again. Lord, have mercy upon us. May we lay before thee also our government in this nation. Oh, we beg thee for the fear of the Lord in the heart of the Prime Minister and all those whom thou hast called to rule over us. Have mercy, Lord. We beg and pray thee also to remember the theological school. May we thank thee again that thou hast provided another student. But Lord, we pray thee, there is such a great need in our denomination and throughout the world. Lord, wilt thou call many more and thrust them forth? Wilt thou open doors and give us that we may in the following year rejoice in the works of the Lord, that there may be many students in the theological school? Lord, help the instructors also. Strengthen them. Care for them. Remember all thy servants, Lord, those who are getting older, those who experience the breaking down of the body. Help each one, Lord. Give us that we may be taught by thee, that we may teach the flocks thou hast entrusted unto our care. Lord, we are sinful men. May we remain like Mary at thy feet, to be instructed by thee, to instruct the congregations. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee. Have mercy upon us. Lord, we beg thee that thou would give opening to preach. Give the unction of the Holy Spirit. Guide by thy Spirit. Be with the mouth of thy servant, Lord, but also be with the ears of the hearers. Open deaf ears and renew hearts, Lord, and care for thy dear people also. Thou knowest what each one needs. Thou knowest all our hearts. Thou art that all-knowing, almighty God of heaven and earth. And thy word is profitable for all things, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, but also for comfort. Lord, may there be food for the hungry. May there be bread for those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. May there be a little water for the thirsty. Come, Lord, bless thy word richly, mightily. May thy kingdom come. Lord, we are sinful. We deserve nothing. We are corrupt, polluted. But, oh, we beg thee, Lord, wilt thou look upon us, hear us, and answer us upon him in whom thou art well pleased, upon that precious Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 421, stanzas 2, 5, and 6. Psalter 421, 2, 5, and 6. The sparrow finds a house to rest. The swallow deftly builds her nest and broods her young hard by thine altar. O Lord of hosts, my God, my King, with all my soul to thee I cling. Hold thou my hand, lest I should falter. How blessed are they that dwell with thee. They praise thy name continually. Psalter 421, 2, 5, and 6. And the collection is for the church and the disaster fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, after the disciples heard the Lord Jesus Christ pray, they said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. As we read in Luke 11, verse 1, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. The Lord Jesus then taught his disciples to pray, as we read in Luke 11, verse 2. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. So tonight we come to the second petition. We have considered the address, Our Father which art in heaven, and this first petition, hallowed be thy name. Tonight we come to the second petition, thy kingdom come. In this second petition, the Lord places before us, in our imagination, a kingdom. Children, young people, what is a kingdom? A kingdom is a country or a territory ruled by a king. A king rules his kingdom. He protects his kingdom. He provides for his kingdom. And for example, when enemies come, he defends his kingdom. Now, spiritually speaking, there's two kingdoms in this world. What are those two kingdoms? And all of us are in one of the kingdoms or the other kingdom. All of us. We can divide us tonight into two kingdoms. What are those two kingdoms? Well, there's the kingdom of Satan, as we are born by nature in that kingdom. And there is the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And sinners are born again and brought into that kingdom. So may I ask you already now a personal question? Which kingdom are you in? Are you still in the kingdom of Satan, rebelling against the King of Kings? Or, by grace, have you been brought into his kingdom? By nature, we care about our own kingdoms. We seek our own kingdoms. We want to build our own kingdoms. And we're not interested at all. We have no hunger, no thirst, no longing for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And Satan, he encourages citizens to live in self-worship, pride, jealousy, anger, gossip, and all those sins. But the kingdom of God is completely different. By God's grace and by the Holy Spirit, those citizens in that kingdom produce totally different fruits. Love, peace, true joy, faith, etc. And so this is the kingdom and the king of which we read what we have read in Psalm 72. Christ's kingdom, verse 18 and 19. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The Lord Jesus Christ teaches his disciples to pray, thy kingdom come. This implies that his disciples have an interest in his kingdom. They have a desire, or they should have a desire for his kingdom. And as I said, by nature, we have no desire for this kingdom. By nature, we are born in the kingdom of Satan, and we only seek everything for self. And we need to be brought in, translated into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. True disciples of Jesus Christ are born again and enter into the kingdom. They have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, as we read, for example, in Colossians 1, verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And so true disciples of Jesus Christ have an interest, a longing for his kingdom. They belong to the king. And they love the king of the kingdom, Jesus Christ. And the citizens of this kingdom are called, commanded to pray, thy kingdom come. They're asking for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Various requests are included in this petition. There's only one king, the King of Kings, and his kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His kingdom will have no end. The kingdom of Satan will be destroyed. Children, remember when Gabriel, that messenger, came to Mary to tell her that she was going to have a son, that she was going to have a baby by the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit? What did he tell her? What did he tell her about this child that was going to be born? Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be the Son of the Highest. And he shall sit on the throne of David. And we read in Luke 1 verse 33, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. So the second petition is, thy kingdom come. What does Jesus Christ teach us to pray in this second petition? Let us read what our fathers have summarized about this in the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 48, question and answer 123. Lord's Day 48, question and answer 123. Which is the second petition? Thy kingdom come. That is, rule us so by thy word and spirit that we may submit ourselves more and more to thee. Preserve and increase thy church. Destroy the works of the devil and all violence which would exalt itself against thee. And also, all wicked counsels devised against thee, thy holy word, till the full perfection of thy kingdom take place, wherein thou shalt be all in all. So Jesus Christ instructs his sheep, his disciples, to pray, thy kingdom come. Today, citizens of a nation also give many petitions to those who rule over them. They have many requests. What are the children of God? What are you requesting, congregation, when you pray this prayer and ask for thy kingdom to come? I will mention four things tonight. There's more, but four tonight from the catechism. First, a petition a petition that requests, rule us. A petition, excuse me. The first thought, a petition that requests, rule us. So a second thought, a petition that requests, increase us. And third, a petition that requests, preserve us. And the fourth, a petition that requests, come to us. So the first thought, thy kingdom come, is a petition that requests, rule us. Dear congregation, sometimes citizens rebel against their government or against a king. For example, in Israel, the Israelites rebelled against King Rehoboam. And this caused the kingdom of Israel to be divided, 10 tribes in 2 tribes. We read of rebellion, for example, in a parable that the Lord Jesus Christ told in Luke 19, verse 14. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. These are examples of who you and I by nature. We are enemies of the kingdom of God and rebellious against the King Jesus Christ. We do not want this king to rule over us. We want to be king in our own lives. But by God's grace, sinners are born again and brought into this kingdom of God. What a blessing, children, teenagers, congregation, to be a citizen of the kingdom of God and to have this king rule over us. Jesus Christ teaches the citizens of his kingdom pray, thy kingdom come. The citizens love the king. And with this this petition, they are expressing the desire that the King, the Lord Jesus Christ, would rule over them, that he would govern them. This implies that there's no other king in their lives anymore. They aren't king, and they have no other kings. They have surrendered their heart, their lives, to the King of Kings. Have you? Have you surrendered to the King? Thy kingdom come is a request, a petition to be ruled by the Almighty God and by his Son, Jesus Christ. Let me share a little Bible story to give an illustration. Children, listen. I'm sure you know this Bible story. It's about David and Jonathan. David killed Goliath, the giant. And then at the end of chapter 1 Samuel 17, King Saul is asking, whose son is this? So he calls David to come to Saul, to the king. And David speaks and answers those questions as we read at the end of chapter 17. And we may also believe that everything David spoke about is not in the Word of God. And Jonathan, I'm sure he saw David kill Goliath. And I'm sure he also listened to what David was saying to his father, the king. And something happens in the heart of Jonathan. What happened? We read in 1 Samuel 18, verse 1, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." Jonathan, the son of King Saul, would become naturally the next king. But over time, Jonathan sees, he sees that David is going to become the king. What does Jonathan do? Does he try to kill David? No, he doesn't. What does he do? We read that he made a covenant with David. He took off his armor, he took off his sword, he took off his bow, and he gave it all to David. Jonathan was saying by this, "David, I desire your kingdom to come and for you to be my king." My friend, this is a little illustration of surrendering to a king. But has this happened in your life spiritually? By nature, we are born a citizen of the kingdom of Satan. Jonathan was naturally born as to become a prince. But by God's grace, Jonathan surrendered to King David. Have you been brought into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, into the kingdom of God? Have you surrendered? Have you read in the Bible the wonderful works of God? Have you heard of his works, of who he is? David or Jonathan heard David speaking, and he saw his wonderful works. Have you seen and heard the wonderful works of the Son of David, Jesus Christ? And have you taken off all your weapons of resistance, and have you surrendered to that king? Has your heart been knit, bound, clinging to him, the King of the kingdom? Do you long for him to rule you, to guide you? Do you pray, "Son of David, Jesus Christ, lead me, govern me, guide me, help me"? In the past, you were only concerned about your kingdom, and you had no interest in his kingdom. But now, do you pray, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come"? True believers are in the kingdom of God and have surrendered to the king, and they long for him to govern them, for him to rule him. But they still have their flesh. They still have that wicked flesh. Things come in their life, afflictions, troubles, and then they feel that rebellion again. Rebellion against God, against the king. And they feel so much sin in themselves again. They desire to obey the king, but they have to be honest. They feel all the rebellion, all that sin again against the king. Their desire is expressed in the Heidelberg Catechism. Thy kingdom come, that is, rule us so by thy word and spirit that we may submit ourselves more and more to thee. These citizens of the king in that kingdom only have a small beginning of complete obedience. They confess as Paul did. And listen, is this your life? Romans 7:19, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that do I. True Christians, true citizens of the kingdom of God, desire that every day their hearts would be completely ruled by the king. He is so worthy to be ruled, and they have such wicked flesh yet. When God's children pray, thy kingdom come, they are requesting that the Lord Jesus Christ would rule over them by his word and his spirit every day. They were renewed and saved by the word and the spirit, and they need their sanctification also through the word and by the spirit. Their hearts have been conquered, but they desire that their hearts will be made completely pure to serve this great King of Kings. They pray as David did in Psalm 86, verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Is that your prayer? Unite my heart to fear thy name. Thy kingdom come is a petition which requests rule us. Do you know this? Is this your desire? Rule us. Rule me. Guide me. Lead me. Or are you still rebelling against this king? What is a Christian requesting in this petition? What are God's children, those citizens, requesting? Not only rule us, but they are also asking in this second petition, they are asking, increase us. My friends, dear congregation, do you desire the kingdom of God to grow? Do you? Do I? The citizens of the kingdom have a task in this world. Are you a citizen? You have a task. The Lord Jesus Christ has given his church a task, that his church would increase. He gave the Great Commission, as we read in Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The responsibility of the church is to preach the gospel to all nations, Jews, Gentiles. Not only far away in Bolivia, right here in this city, congregation. That's our task. It's actually even my task as a pastor to do the work of an evangelist. It's our task to share the gospel with our neighbors, with those that we go to university, and those in this town. Parents are called to speak to their children. As we heard this morning, they promise to the utmost of their ability to raise them in the truth of God's word. Are you a teacher? Well, we're all teachers because we're parents. But are you a teacher at a Christian school or others? You also have the responsibility to share the word of God. Why? What's the purpose? So that it would be blessed, that the kingdom of Jesus Christ would increase, that more would be born again, that more sheep would be gathered into that fold, that more would know him, that more would praise him. Is your heart what we read in Psalm 67, 4 and 5? Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. We have to be honest, congregation. The more we have love and zeal for the King of the kingdom, and the more we love that King, the more we will want others to worship, to know the King of the kingdom. The kingdom come is a request that the kingdom of Jesus Christ would increase. How will sinners be brought into this kingdom? They need to be born again. What's the seed of regeneration? The precious word of God. The word of God. How will sinners be saved? How will sinners believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? They need to hear the word of God. They need to hear about that precious Savior. How will their hearts be knit to the King of Kings, the King of the Kingdom? How was Jonathan's heart knit to David? He heard his word. He saw his deeds. Sinners need to hear the word of God. They need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit works faith in the heart of sinners by the word, through hearing. If sinners do not hear the word, they cannot be saved. If they do not hear the gospel, they cannot know Jesus Christ. They cannot have faith in him. Pray. Pray for the Lord to provide more pastors in our denomination and through the world. There's a great need. Pray for the Lord to send out more missionaries, church workers. There's a great need. So many are perishing who have never heard the word of God. Children of God, sheep of the good shepherd, did you hear and do you feel your responsibility to also obey this command when we pray, thy kingdom come? It's good, pray for the kingdom to come, but also obey the great command to obey, to share the gospel in whatever way you can. You say, well, I'm not called to be an elder. I'm not called to be a minister. Was that woman in Samaria an elder, a deacon? Was she? No, she wasn't. She had in her heart love for that king, and she wanted others. Was that little girl in Naaman's house? Was she called? Was she an elder? Was she a deacon? Did she have an office? No, she didn't. She spoke what she knew. She pointed. She shared. Faith cometh by hearing. We need to share the word with our neighbors, with our colleagues, with those we go to school with everyone. Please open your Bible to Romans 10, and we'll read some verses from Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 13 through 17. Romans 10, verse 13 through 17, where we read from the word of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, the Lord, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. To pray this petition is to request that the kingdom of God would increase. Man has a responsibility. We have a responsibility also here as a congregation in this city where God has placed us in his providence. But in this request, it's also crying to God to also bless his word. Why? Because man cannot save himself, and I cannot save not one sinner. It's impossible with man, but it's possible with the Almighty God. So in this petition, we are also asking, Lord, to work mightily, irresistibly, because salvation is of God. My friends, do you have family that's lost? Do you have a father? Do you have a mother? Do you have a son, a daughter, a brother, a sister? Other relatives? Do you have a neighbor that's lost? Lost? Share the word of God with them. Share the word of God with them and obey the instruction. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. The Almighty God has the power to use the simplest means to convert, your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter, your brother, your sister, your friend, he who sits in school with you or on the bus or who you work with. The work of God, he works it. He gives new hearts. He takes away the hearts of stone. He gives a heart of flesh, as we read in Ezekiel 36. Several times he says, I will, I will, I will. Praying thy kingdom come is also looking to the Lord, depending on him to bless his word. I said it this morning, but I want to read this verse again. At the end of this chapter, Ezekiel 36, verse 37, Jehovah says, thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. What does this refer to? All that he says before of his sovereign work. Our hope and our expectation is not in man, but it's in the Almighty God who can work in the most hardest, dead, depraved, corrupt heart of a sinner. He can make alive. And so when we pray thy kingdom come, it's also asking the Lord to richly bless his word by the power of the Holy Spirit. He has the power to open closed hearts, hearts that are locked, that will not surrender. Children, do you know example that when someone was preaching at a river, that the Lord richly blessed that word and the heart of a sinner was opened? I think you know that story. Lydia. Paul was preaching. He was guided, exactly as you read in the chapter, to be at the riverside where the women met in prayer. And he preached. And what happened when he preached? The Lord opened the heart of Lydia, as we read in Acts 16, verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. God is the same today. He lives. He can open closed hearts, and he can make willing. The Almighty Creator of heaven and earth has the power to do for you and for your family, for your friends, for your neighbors, which we do not have the power to do. Pray and ask the kingdom come. Lord, bless thy word. And what about you personally? You who are yet in rebellion against the king. What's the instruction for you tonight in this petition? There's also instruction for you. You may beg the Lord and ask him. Confess that your heart is as hard as a rock. There's no life in it. Confess to him that you're only living in rebellion against him. And beg him, Lord, take away the heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh. Dear children of God, sheep of the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ instructs you and me to pray, thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come. And the Almighty God can do the same thing in your heart, in the hearts in this congregation, as he has done in the heart of Lydia. And so this petition is requesting, rule us, but also increase us, that more may know thy great and glorious name, that more may worship thee. Let us sing now from Psalm 67. We will sing Psalter 176, stanzas 1 and 2. 176, stanzas 1 and 2. O God, to us show mercy, and bless us in thy grace. Cause thou to shine upon us the brightness of thy face, that so thy way most holy on earth may soon be known, and unto every people thy saving grace be shown. Psalter 176, stanzas 1 and 2. Thank you. Thy kingdom come is a request to rule us, to increase us, but also preserve us. With praying this prayer, God's children are requesting that God the Father would preserve them, that the Lord Jesus Christ, that good shepherd, would preserve them. Why? Because they have many enemies. And without God, without that good shepherd preserving them, they will utterly perish. They will perish at the hand of the enemy. I think of David. Saul did everything to kill David. But God preserved David. David didn't preserve himself. No, God preserved David. And David prayed to God to preserve him, as we read in Psalm 16, verse 1. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. My friend, do you understand the need? Lord, preserve us? Or can you do it all yourself? God's poor and afflicted people know what it is to pray, and they know the need. Lord, preserve me. They feel the power of sin in themselves, and they feel the need that of themselves they will only perish. They see and know the powers of temptation, of sin, of Satan, and the world. And they know there also is an enemy who would love to destroy the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and who would also love to destroy them. And so they pray, as we also read in Psalm 25, verse 20, Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Or they pray, as we read in Psalm 40, verse 11, Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Do you know this? Do you pray, thy kingdom come? Are you praying and begging for the King of the kingdom? Lord, preserve me. Without thy preserving grace, I will perish. The church of Jesus Christ has enemies. And that is why the Lord Jesus Christ instructs them to pray, Thy kingdom come. And as we read in the Catechism, that is, rule us so by thy word and spirit, that we may submit ourselves more and more to thee. Preserve and increase us. Increase thy church. Destroy the works of the devil and all violence which would exalt itself against thee, and also all wicked counsels devised against thy holy word. The devil is an enemy of God. The devil is an enemy of Jesus Christ. He hates the king. He hates God. He hates the kingdom. He hates Jesus Christ. And he hates the citizens of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. He would love to destroy it all. And he will do his utmost power to destroy the church of God. But what a precious thing. The church of God is in those almighty, faithful hands of Jehovah. Satan loves, desires to destroy the joy of God's children. He will do everything to also destroy their joy. And so when Jesus Christ is also instructing his church to pray, thy kingdom come, he's instructing them also, Lord, preserve us. Preserve us from the enemy. Preserve us from my own flesh, from sin, from temptations. The devil is okay. If in a church you just preach half-truths, if you don't preach the full counsel of God, if you preach false gospel, if you preach easy believism, or if you preach fatalism, or if you preach that God is all mercy, or he's okay if you preach universal redemption, and many other false teachings and doctrines. He's okay, he's happy if you only go to church once a Sunday. He's so happy. So many churches are closing over the world. They only have one service. He's happy because that cuts everything in half. Satan is happy. May we never do so, congregation. And may you and I faithfully use the means of grace. The Lord has promised to bless the means of grace. He's okay. Satan's okay. If you die with a false hope, or if you die with utter despair, he's okay. He's happy. He's an enemy. And so the Lord Jesus is teaching to pray, Lord, preserve us. Preserve us in this world. Preserve the precious preaching of the pure gospel. Paul warned about it greatly already in Galatia. Open your Bibles again to Galatians 1. Galatians 1. And we will read verses 6 through 9. Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9. It's a warning of Paul to the church in Galatia. And he wrote, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Congregation, may we pray thy kingdom come. Preserve this church. Preserve the truth of the gospel. Preserve the full counsel of God. Almighty God, preserve this church in Cortland. May we pray, preserve our denomination. Preserve the truth for the honor and for the glory of God and for the salvation of sinners. And may the truth go out from us by God's grace to the nations. Children of God, you must be alert. Jesus Christ taught you to pray, thy kingdom come. You need to be reserved. Why? Because the devil is an enemy. What do we read in 1 Peter 5 verse 8? Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Children of God, do you tremble sometimes? Do you fear that someday you will perish? You will perish because of your sin, because of Satan? Listen to the promise. Listen to the promise of God the Father as we read in Psalm 121, verse 7 through 8. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. The Lord will preserve his church. The good shepherd of his sheep will preserve every one of his sheep. But are you a sheep? Are you a citizen of this kingdom? Thy kingdom come is a petition. Rule us. Increase us. Preserve us. But it's also a request, Lord, come to us. Our last thought this evening. Thy kingdom come is a request of praying and begging and asking the Lord to come to us. In the first place, come to us for thy honor, for thy glory. For the honor and the glory of the King of the kingdom, Jesus Christ. Lord, come to us. Work in our country. Work in this nation. Work in this city. Work in this church. But work in our hearts. In our hearts. That more may be born again and might know thee and glorify thee. But it's also a request, an individual request. Lord, come to us. Come to me. Come in my heart for the glory of God, but also for the well-being of a personal soul. The coming of the kingdom of Jesus Christ in a heart, in a soul, is a blessing for wretched sinners, because the kingdom of Jesus Christ It's a kingdom of joy. It's a kingdom of peace. It's a kingdom of salvation, as we read in Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Thy kingdom come is a petition. Rule us, increase us, preserve us, but also come to us. It's a petition that the Lord Jesus Christ would fulfill his promise that he would return as he promised before he left, as we read in John 14, verse 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Thy kingdom come. Praying this petition is also asking, Lord, come, return, return, deliver us, take us home, free us from all flesh, from sin, from Satan, that we may serve thee perfectly forever, for thy honor, for thy glory, and for our eternal comfort. What a blessing. That's the future. To be delivered from self, to be delivered from flesh, from unbelief, sin, wicked thoughts, wicked desires, wicked affections, to be able to live pure for the King. Lord, come, come, take thy children home. But it's also that God would be all in all. That's how the catechism ends. And the authors are quoting from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 28. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. What does it mean that God would be all in all? Another question. Who are the people that will truly experience this? That God will be all in all. Redeemed sinners. Paul says that God shall be in all of them in fullness. In fullness. No more sin. Purity. Completely delivered on here on earth. God's people often feel their hearts are so hard and cold, so lifeless, so prayerless. Here on this earth, the sheep of the Good Shepherd are poor and needy. They're in a battlefield. They fight against sin and flesh. Here on the earth, true believers have their flesh, which goes everywhere where they go. They can't be free from it. But God will be all in all, in perfection. No more enemies. All the enemies cast out. No more flesh. No more sin. God, his kingdom, will be completely restored in fullness. He will be glorified fully, perfectly, by all his citizens around his throne and his kingdom. God shall be all in all. His people, his dear people, his redeemed people will be completely perfect. What shall they be like? What shall they be like that God will be all in all? Well, John wrote about this in 1 John 3, verse 2. Listen. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, that's speaking of his second coming, and now listen, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. God will be all in all. All his citizens will be like Christ. As John wrote, we shall be like him in perfection, holiness. You shall be Christ-like. God shall be all in all. Thy kingdom come is a petition. Lord, rule us. Lord, increase us. Lord, preserve us. But also come to us. May thy kingdom come, not only in this world, but also that his kingdom would come and that his citizens would be delivered and into that heavenly kingdom where God shall be all in all. What a future. What a precious future. Will you be there? Will I be there? Thy kingdom come is a prayer. Lord, come to us. Lord, come to us and take us home. Do you pray that? Children of God, do I really long for that? Do I live for that? I knew a little bit about Reverend Kite in Chilliwack, and he was a man that lived desiring this. He longed that he would be on the earth when Christ would come. He longed to see him returning. That's an Advent people at the very heart, in the core. Are we living like that? Or are our tent pegs too stuck in this earth, trying still to suck pleasures out of this world? We need to pull those tent pegs up. We need to live like a pilgrim, and we should pray this. Thy kingdom come. Lord, come to us. Come and take me home. That should be your prayer, Church of God. Zion. We'll end with two verses from Revelation 22, 20 and 21. Surely I come quickly, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Amen. Let us close in prayer. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, teach us to pray. Also to pray this petition with truth and sincerity for the honor, for the glory of thy name, for the salvation of sinners, thy kingdom come. But also, Lord, make us, thy dear people, also to be an Advent people, to be waiting, to be longing, to be looking, to be expecting the return of the King of Kings, to be taken home, to be delivered from sin, self, and all wickedness, to be able to serve thee perfectly with our whole beings eternally. Lord, we pray, bless thy word. Forgive whatever was not according to thy will, blotted out in the precious blood of the Lamb. Be with us in this week. Help us in all our responsibilities. And Lord, keep us from an unprepared death, and prepare us to meet thee. Lord, we pray, look upon us through thy dear Son, in whose name we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing in closing from Psalter 49, stanzas 1 and 2. The ends of all the earth shall hear and turn unto the Lord in fear. All kindreds of the earth shall own and worship him as God alone. All earth to him her homage brings, the Lord of lords, the King of kings. Psalter 49, stanzas 1 and 2. congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.